Hello, my name is Penny Robinson, and I was baptized in a non-denominational military chapel in Nagoya, Japan, several years after World War II. Just before high school, I was confirmed as a Presbyterian because that was my father's religion, although my parents only occasionally went to church. In college, I attended the Congregational Church because it was near my dorm and it was welcoming and friendly. After marrying a Catholic, I joined the Catholic Church because a priority for me was worshiping as a family. The best part was learning about Catholic social teaching through a transformative study of social justice in a program called Just Faith. However, through a number of circumstances over a period of several years, I became alienated and even in a sense spiritually broken. In retrospect, however, this was a real opportunity and an incentive for me to look for my own spiritual home. After some exploring, I found my spiritual home here. I feel free to look for wisdom from many sources and can truly live out my commitment to social justice. Of course, I haven't left my entire Christian tradition behind. I continue attending a contemplative prayer group organized and facilitated by some Catholics. And I do believe that Jesus was divine. But I also believe that each one of us, everybody, all inclusive, that we are all sacred and holy. In fact, I believe that all of creation, the entire cosmos, is holy and sacred. I have come to believe not in a person trinity type God, but more of a mix of energy, the energy that's the source of all life, this mix of energy and consciousness and love that we are all connected to and that we will all be fully reunited with after death. Although at one time I felt I had almost a physical hunger for the Christian scriptures and a yearning desire to understand who and what God is, I realize now this is really a burning desire to connect with the holy and the sacred. So over the years, I have found several ways to connect, mainly through relationships and creation, through my marriage relationship with my husband and my family, through getting acquainted and developing other relationships through such programs as our journey groups and the Esther one-on-ones. Through creation, especially quietly in the woods, near a river or lake, or in the mountains. In fact, one afternoon I sat for over an hour in our backyard among the trees, not doing anything, just quietly sitting there being present. I felt very connected. Through centering prayer and meditation, connecting to the sacred within myself, I feel connected through some music. And I'm sure there are other ways, but key for me, I think, is being silent, present, and mindful. And of course, working for social justice to change things so that everyone has a place at the table of opportunity connects me to others and gives me a hope in a very hurting world. However, I am frequently challenged to balance the quiet contemplative and the active social justice parts of my life. But each nurtures and challenges the other. My goal is for more balance in my active contemplative spirituality. And finally, as human beings, I personally feel I have one main mandate: to take care of others, of each other, and of creation in a social justice way. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Ricky Profont. I've identified myself as UU for about 2 years now. I was baptized into the Catholic Church and had been a member for quite a while. I'm what you might call a product of the What Would Jesus Do movement, if you remember all those WWJD bracelets. My whole soccer team had them. So as a kid, I would think, what would Jesus do right now? Well, he'd probably score a goal to win the game, so I'll try that. And after losing a game, I'd think, what would Jesus do right now? He might say something like, well, you win or you learn, so what can I learn from this? As a kid, Jesus can come back in any form. And it kind of excited and frightened me because I'd think, what, like a ghost in my house at night? And so I had a wild imagination as a kid. I'd always wonder what Jesus would look like if he came back, when he'd come back. So I had so many mental visions of what this new Jesus would look like and what my conversation would consist of. I prayed to God about everything. Big things as a kid would be something like asking God, is there a cage up there for my hamster Dilbert? Please don't let him get squished. If you recall, he died once already. That's why he's up there. And when I got older, some of the prayers consisted of, please make me stop being attracted to girls. This needs to stop. In church, I realized a lot of people around me seemed to have this direct connection on the Jesus hotline, but I kept feeling like I was getting the busy signal. I thought, maybe becoming a nun would help. Instead of pursuing that, I stopped believing and I stopped going to church. In college, I took a Japanese religion class, and it kind of revitalized my interest in religious studies and thinking there's got to be something out there that fits me. A friend of mine in college took me to Mars Hill Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and the lead minister that day was Rob Bell. And it was just so interesting and moving and very powerful, and I thought, you know, this is very exciting, and it can be exciting. I was just maybe in the wrong church growing up. So I went home and bought one of his books. It's called Velvet Elvis. And one of the parts that stick out to me the most, he talked about two different religious groups of people. Some people have a brick wall religion where if you start questioning things or moving the bricks or picking at the mortar, they get very defensive and anxious because that's their first line of defense and that's all they've ever known, and their world could crumble. The second group of religious people are the people who have a religious trampoline. So it's the people whose religion is always there to be flexible and catch them no matter where they fall in life. You can take springs out, move them around, and replace them, but it'll always be there to catch you. That's the kind of religion that I was looking for. So I felt like I still had this emptiness. I didn't really know how to fill it. I took up a lot of hobbies. My partner could probably tell you that our garage looks like a sporting goods store. My crafting closet is now a crafting room. Then finally, I listened to the audiobook My Two Moms and heard about the UU Church. And immediately I thought, there's got to be one in Appleton somewhere. So I've landed here, finally, at my new spiritual home. And immediately I knew it was a good fit. I'm still uncertain of what I believe in at this point. But I do know that the Journey Group has really helped me define some of my beliefs and what I do and do not believe in. One thing that I read every single day, I wrote it down out of the UU World magazine actually a couple months ago, and I keep it on my desk at home. It's from, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the name right, but Reverend Tom Shade. You matter, you are a child of God, and you have a right to be here, to be yourself, to think for yourself. Listen for the truth and speak it too. Respect yourself and treat others with the same respect. Open yourself to the new and the unknown. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be thankful for all you have received and share it joyfully. Sing, be the change you wish to see in the world. Thank you.
Morning, I'm Mark Bouchel. I've been a member of the UU for nearly 20 years now. And here's a couple of ideas and thoughts and some beliefs that I have. I grew up in a Catholic family. I believed in one Catholic and Apostolic Church. We attended church every week throughout the year. My sisters, brother, and I attended Sunday school and catechism, celebrated First Communion and confirmation with family and friends. I learned to participate in confession. We planned meals to be in compliance with the observance of special days and times of the year. At times, we lit candles, and we said the required prayers at every meal. All was good. My worldview was clearly organized according to the Catholic Church. I was working my way to heaven according to these rules, and if I kept on track, I was in for sure. My life seemed to be shattered when I was diagnosed with cancer at age 22. It was Burkitt's lymphoma. A belief that I held about that came from fifth grade when my teacher had told me if you had lymphoma, you were sure to die. There was no cure. I didn't keep up on the science since then, but that was a belief that I continued to hold. After surgery and the start of chemotherapy, I felt a deep chaos and a whirlwind within the core of my being that stirred every cell of my body. Literally, everything in my life was changing. At first, I had a difficult time accepting my situation and the changes that were taking place. After all, I went to church almost every week. I was well on my way to, heaven. My belief in the Catholic Church was also changing. How could something like this even happen to me? There must have been a mistake or an oversight. My diagnosis was not changing, and I would have to deal with my situation. It was clearly a difficult and personally challenging time of my life. As time went on, I met other people with questions similar to mine. I read books that were thought-provoking. I met other people in similar situations. As the days and weeks and months went on with chemotherapy, I found I had less and less energy. I was losing weight, I was getting weaker, and feeling like things continued to get worse. I had plenty of time on my hands to deal with many of the questions facing me. And one such question was an ultimate question of whether or not I wanted to continue with the difficult and painful journey I was on. When I was near one of the lowest points on that journey, I experienced a thought that went something like this. I know that someday I'm going to die. Maybe one of life's challenges for me is not about how am I going to die, but rather how am I going to live? How am I going to live? What is the quality of life that I can choose to lead with the time I have here and now? What can I do? And what attitude do I need and want to develop and maintain in order to live more freely and more fully? A light went on. I felt as if a new universe was unfolding with me and around me. From those questions forward, I seemed to have a different energy and a focus. Nothing magically changed, but I felt different. My beliefs were beginning to change. My self-view is changing from one of a passive recipient to view of an active participant. I also began to ask new questions about me and my existence and where I fit into things and what do other people believe and think about life and their existence and how they grew up. I began to think about my situation as an opportunity to grow. And I began to recognize that my cancer, diagnosis, treatment, everything I experience has given me a wealth and depth of experience and compassion. And if I choose, I can frame it that way. I also recognize that I was not alone in my thinking and feeling. My beliefs continued to evolve as I continued to read, to listen, to watch, and participate. Some of those beliefs are very consistent with what I found here at the UU. And some of these beliefs are some of mine that I have continued to develop and hold near to me. No one knows everything, nor does anyone have a secret magic answer. The Earth is not the center of the universe. Maybe there are places beyond our solar neighborhood where life exists. Music has the potential to speak universally. Treating others well is important. My attitude is as important as my actions. Science continues to address and explain many so-called mysteries of our world. Change occurs in many ways, and events occur that defy logical explanation. Those are some of my ideas and beliefs. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Mia. This, I believe, is an intimidating task. When Margaret first asked me to contribute, I felt a bit terrified to receive the space and to define something so fundamental, yet so overwhelming and large into a short piece, into a panel discussion. Now I'm nervously excited to be sharing my thoughts with you, and I wish I would have felt urged to take the time earlier, just for my own sake, to sit down and define what I can define and leave the rest to the future. A short bio of my belief path. When I was little, the big questions fascinated me, and I used to think that my friends were talking about too much shallow stuff, and I often asked if we could talk about our inner feelings. I was a bit made fun of, mostly in a loving way, but I was sure that I was onto something here. In Swedish secular childhood culture, there was very little space for the big questions. I had no spiritual home or mentors to turn to. I did join the children's church choir, and it led me to start writing songs about Jesus. I had a storybook about Jesus, and I liked the tales and his awesome personality. At home, my parents thought it was amusing that I was into Jesus, but they were no churchgoers and seemed not to pick up on the underlying message here, which was that I was thirsting to understand why we are here on this earth, what our purpose is. I was looking for role models. I was looking for things that would resonate more deeply in my soul. Growing up in Sweden, and I looked this up on Wikipedia, with a 65% of the population being Lutheran Christian, Christianity never took root in me besides my Jesus faith. When I moved to Appleton in 2011 and came to the UU the first time, it was an extraordinary experience. It really felt like I had found a home in the midst of anxiety of moving to a place I felt so new and alienated to. That there's actually a real space here with real people who can meet around the big questions and in an open and accepting way, that was something I never had encountered before. The UU has given me a spiritual home, but not a spiritual path. That is my job to figure out. I'm so glad Alice, our 2-year-old daughter, has a place where she can go to talk about her inner feelings and hopefully not be made fun of. In terms of spiritual guidance, what has mostly resonated with me is Buddhism. I do not claim to be a Buddhist, but a great deal of what I have understood about Buddhism correlate with my own experience of life. One cornerstone of Buddhism and my own observation in life is that suffering is inescapable, whether you're rich or poor, black or white, etc. The only thing we can do to change this fact is how we relate to it. From a pretty young age, I have encountered close family members suffering from depression and bipolar disorder. Despite the dark and saddening sights I have seen in others and myself, despite the existential guilt and doubts about the real meaning in life, I feel like I have come to certain realizations. And here is a little top four list of what I believe. I'm going to throw out a disclaimer, though. There's a lot of things I believe. For example, Penny was mentioning social justice, and that's something I really hold dearly. But this is just a little bit of a pick from what I believe. My first one is, I think we have two sides. In Buddhist writing, it boils down to the ego and the Buddha nature. Our lives are conditioned by circumstances and by how we handle them. The ego is pretty much accumulated thought patterns, behaviors, and habits that make sense to us, that we act out and make us go through life. Even though the concept of ego sounds negative, it really has its place because it creates coping mechanisms for us. Our ancient past, and for some of us present, our lives are filled with immediate fears and threats, and we have evolved to always think the worst. Behind the ego and negative thought patterns, we can sometimes feel the presence of something that is bigger than us. This place of calm, as the deep calm water underneath the stormy waves of thoughts, lies our true nature, our Buddha nature, or perhaps God, who knows. At this place, the thought of little me is overshadowed by a sense of being part of a whole. When I'm closer to this state, my thoughts and actions are coming from a place from the heart without as much self-doubt and anxiety. My two belief is people are my teachers. Yes, I have learned a lot from going inside to books, but it is mostly real people in my everyday life that makes the difference for me. In you all, I see different paths, courage and strides that leaves us in different places, yet weaves us together by the particular seam of life. I find meaning in conversations, sharing joys and sorrows, and I find many teachings in being with my daughter and other children that I'm close to. There's so much presence in a child, and so much mystery and beauty, which helps me reconnect with something more fundamental and uncomplicated within myself. 3. Growing in mind and in spirit, as we say here, takes time and active effort. It seems as some folks just naturally feel like they have a place and have a feeling of purpose, but for us other less fortunate, it takes active work and carving out of time. This is my biggest challenge. Although I feel like I'm onto something with my path, I still feel as I definitely am not taking as much time as I should to be in that sphere. Life is hectic with a toddler, house, work, and other things, and little time seems to be left in between. The trick here, though, isn't there a spiritual place to be held within the daily routines of life? Sure, it would be great to take more time for meditation, which I really should, but it is the nitty-gritty tasks of everyday life that makes up most of people's lives. I would like to work on to make whatever I do a spiritual practice, feeling gratitude in the small and humbleness in life's bigger moments. My last one is, I do think we go someplace else when we die. Maybe it's heaven, maybe it's a transformation into another life form, maybe it's something we can't imagine. Some of my dreams at night have shown me that I can be in other dimensions and places that to me isn't explainable by science. The dream dimension and the dimension of death seems to have an overlap. Human birth seems to have a correlation to death. I think we all are born with a soul and with a past. From have been working with many young children, and from having a wonderful two-year-old, I have observed personalities and soulful depths I don't think can only be explained by genetics or environmental factors. What that past encompasses, I don't know. It seems to me that life is most vivid and feel most real when the mystery of life and death are held together as one. Thank you.